honor to be here, and thank you to these musicians and singers for all the great, great music. That choir just touched my heart. I've said this everywhere I go. I really, truly believe in America it should be perfectly legal to shoot a bad choir. You ought to just be able to stand up and put them out of their misery. And you say, why would you say such a thing? Because a choir can dig a hole that no preacher can get out of. Man, what a thrill to hear a choir that sings with such zest for the cause of Christ. And then that song that the French horn played, It Is Well With My Soul, that was written by a lawyer. That's an attorney wrote that song. A man by the name of Horatio Spafford, who was a Chicago attorney, who sent his family on ahead a few days. They were going to vacation in Europe. And on the way over, his wife and his children, the boat sank. And a man walked in his office and he said, you're always talking about how good God is. Now what have you got to say, Mr. Lawyer? And Horatio Spafford sat down and he penned these words, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this best assurance control, it is well. Thank you for that. And I've just enjoyed today. I love how this church eats. I really enjoy it. I do. I enjoy being with your pastor and everything. And to hear that they have a Cracker Barrel manager, I feel God's call to come to this church. I mean, wow. As much money as Cracker Barrel gets out of me, how many of you love their country ham and grits? Oh, man, that is good eats. And I just thank the Lord for the great spirit, the heart that's in this church. And please never forget this. What you have here is not of you. It's the Lord's doing. Do you understand? If it's just of us, then any unsaved group of people could manufacture it. But it's not of us, it's of God. And when God brought Pastor Jenkins here, how many of you know, God brought a very special servant for Jesus Christ to be your pastor. And I have just thrilled to have the honor to be here. Turn in your Bible to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Tonight we're going to be in a passage of scripture that I'm going to behoove you to mark a little bit, because it is a passage of scripture that, if you're anything like me, I have to invoke this passage of scripture in my life almost on a daily basis. In fact, I have this passage committed to memory because often I have to bring it into my life multiple times a day. Let me tell you what the passage says. God says if you and I will do four things, and he marks out the four things very clearly. God says, I will deliver you from all worry and fear. Wow. How many of you believe, and that the Bible teaches as it does, that worry is a sin? How many of you are aware of that? Now, here's my problem. I know worry is a sin, and it doesn't help me to know that, because I worry about what I'm worried about, and then I worry because I'm worrying about what I'm worrying about. How many of you understand what I just said? And it becomes a vicious cycle. And then one day, boy, looking at this passage of scripture, God says, I'm going to make a promise to you that if you will do these four things, I'm going to give you a peace that can't be comprehended. I will deliver you from worry and fear. If you ever worry again, after knowing this passage of scripture, it's because you chose to. And why would anybody want to be torn up with worry and with fear? One of the questions that I get asked regularly in courtrooms and in legislatures, people that don't know the Lord come up to me and say, can I ask you this question? And I've been asked it dozens and dozens of times. If your God's so great, if your God's so powerful, so awesome, how come what tears us up is tearing your people up? We don't have that God, but you say you do. And how come what's ripping us up and tearing us up is also disturbing you in such great measure? Now, that's a fair question. Well, I promise you, God says, I want to give you a deliverance. Let's get ready to read the scripture and look at the four things that God says. Philippians chapter 4. The first requirement starts right at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Do you understand? God's people are to be a continuously rejoicing people. The command is not rejoice when there's something we like, not just rejoice when we get together, but rejoice in the Lord always. And then God double emphasizes it, and again I say, rejoice. Now, the Lord did not add that, and again I say, just to lengthen the sentence. It's of critical importance for us to remember we are a people called to rejoice. There is no such thing as a good non-rejoicing Christian. By the power and the grace of God, and whatever God commands, God will enable, we are to be the people who rejoice. I wonder if the kids would say, boy, Mom's the most rejoicing people you've ever met. My dad, oh, what a rejoicer. The people at our church, how they rejoice. You're never going to defeat worry and fear till we start right there, because it's the first of the four commands. Rejoice. When I was 8 years of age, my mother contracted polio, and our lives were turned upside down in the extreme. I remember on a morning our house, because we were in the meatpacking business and cattle, our house started at 4 a.m. I remember walking down into the kitchen. My mom was standing by the stove, and she said, Davy, run get your dad. I think I'm really sick. And she walked from the kitchen into the living room, laid down on a sofa, and my mother never walked again. Polio, spinal meningitis had come to our house. I watched her body writhe and begin to contract. I watched her hands begin to shake and gnarl up. And I watched as she'd say, I can't breathe. Polio had come. Now, we lived at church. My mother was the church pianist. We had our own key to the church house. She did all the rehearsals with the choirs and the music groups. I grew up loving church. Now I'm 8 years old, and I never dreamed anything like this. They came to our house with an ambulance, and when the paramedics came in, they said, we'll try to get her there alive, but I don't think so. I said, what do you mean you don't think so? It's my mom. I watched as they took a thing and punched a hole in her throat and started running tubes just so she could breathe. I didn't know when they took my mom out the door that I wouldn't see her for 2 years. For 2 years, she'd be in a hospital struggling to survive. When you're 8 years old, 2 years is a long time. And I got upset with God. I said, God, this isn't fair. I told the Lord a dozen times, this is how you treat your people. My mom's the best servant I know. Look at where we are. I know people don't even go to church and they don't have any of this. Finally, after 2 years, my sister and I were going to get to see my mother. Now, not where we were face to face, but we were at this huge hospital, and we were going to be in one building and look across a little courtyard. They were going to bring my mother to a window in the other building. What a great day. All the way there, my sister, who's very practical, She kept saying, "Now, whatever you do, don't say something stupid, David." She said, "You're always saying stupid things." How many of you guys are, you're a man, but you have a sister? Hold your hand up, will you? Will you understand? I mean, she just was correcting me all the way there. And I said, "Garnet, I just want to see her. That's all I want to do. We're going to have a little speaker box, and she's going to have a little speaker box. I just want to see her." We got there, and we were supposed to be there at 10 o'clock. Boy, we're there at 9 o'clock, and we're standing there, and 10 o'clock comes, and it's 10:15, then it's 10:30. And finally, a nurse comes up, and she said, "Are you the Gibbs kids?" And we said, "Yeah, yeah, we are." And they said, "Well, don't leave. Your mom's having a very bad morning. She can't breathe. But she wants to see you." And my sister took my hand and squeezed it. She said, "Now don't say anything." We stood there for 2 more hours. Finally, they brought my mom and they wheeled her iron lung up. And we could hear them. And she said, "Turn my head so I can see my kids, please." And I thought, "God, you took her hands. You took her legs. She can't breathe. I could have left her neck. Would that have been too much?" And when they tried to turn her head, it caused her great pain. And finally, when they turned her, now we're looking at each other across this little courtyard, about as far away as I am right now from Pastor. And when my mom looked at me, the first words out of her mouth was not "hello" or "how are you." The first thing she said is, "David, don't you think that, son?" How many of you know moms can read their kids? And I did what every kid does. I fibbed. I said, "Don't think what, Mom?" She said, "Son, our God's doing all things well. And I want you to rejoice with me. This isn't what I planned, David. But it is God's plan. And son, I want you to rejoice." Of all the things my mom could have said to me, in that moment, she said, "Rejoice. Rejoice." Now, I didn't understand it, but I never forgot it. And by the way, moms, you're teaching your kids life lessons they will never forget. Dad, they'll never forget whether you are a rejoicing Christian or not. Looking at us across that hallway with my sister, she said, "Let's sing. Let's sing." You know what she sang? "Rejoice in the Lord." You want to be delivered from worry, from fear? God says, "I want you to start rejoicing." Now remember what rejoicing is. Re means again. Joyce means redo your joy. When I was growing up, our family would have these great family reunions, and we'd all get together, and there would be hundreds of people there I didn't know that I'm related to, and I would look at them, and I would say, "Boy, if this is my gene pool, I'm in trouble." But there would be all these people, but the one thing they did at our reunions was we had great lemonade, homemade lemonade. They made it in 55-gallon wood barrels. And man, how you make it is you chop up hundreds and hundreds of lemons and throw it in. Then you put 100 pounds of sugar in. Then you pour water in. Now you got all the makings, but you don't have lemonade. Not till somebody stirs it. When's the last time you stirred your joy? you rejoiced. And again I say rejoice. When they ask Abraham Lincoln, what's the greatest lesson as a Christian you've ever learned? He said, oh, it's very simple. He said, based on the promises of God, Christians are as happy as they've decided to be because we're commanded to rejoice. And by the grace of God, we can rejoice. You say, well, Brother Gibbs, I'm just not one of those bubbly people. This is not bubbly people stuff. This is God's people saying rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Oh, it'll change your life. And it'll take a message with your children. My mom's with the Lord now, but I can still hear those words as clear as if she spoke them today. Because when God has a parent really do something, it's heart-touching. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Look at the second command. Number one, rejoice. Verse 5, number 2, let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, circle that word moderation. It starts with us rejoicing. But then God says, I want you to let everybody know what your moderation is. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The word moderation means what's a control. When you hold a meeting here, your pastor is the moderator. He's in control. God says, I want you to let the whole world know what's in control of you. The Lord is at hand. When's the last time you just said to somebody, I'd like to let you know what's got a hold of me? I want you to know the Lord has got a hold of me. Oh, yeah, but Brother Gibbs, if I hold up and said something like that, they might think it's strange. Oh, I'm sure they will. But we're Bible commanded to let all men know what has a hold of us. The Lord is at hand. After 2 years, almost 2.5 years, my mom came home from the hospital. And when she came home, she's still very, very ill, couldn't dress herself, couldn't feed herself at all, strapped up in a wheelchair, she couldn't even sit upright. And our pastor came to see us. And polio was a very fearful thing. We had been quarantined for almost 9 months. And when our pastor came, it was not a good meeting. And my mom is there sitting in her wheelchair, and our preacher comes in. And he said, Mrs. Gibbs, he said, I just wanted to come and bring you a little message from the church. And my mom said, oh, that's kind. He said, well, let me tell you what it is. We don't want you to come back. We're afraid. And we'd like you never to come back. And my mom said, I see. And my mom said to him, well, wouldn't there be something I could do for the church? And the preacher looked at my mom and he said, Miss Gibbs, you need to realize God's through with you. And I don't know what you did, but God's through with you. Now I'm sitting there and I'm 10, almost 11. And I've never hit anybody, let alone a preacher, but I decided I was going to rearrange his teeth. When he said that, I was up and out of my chair on my way to hit him. You know what went through my mind? You may be right, but you're not talking to my mom that way. And boy, he saw me coming, and man, he balled up, and he knew I was going to hit him. And my mom, who couldn't move at all, said, now, Davy, you stop, you stop. You sit down, you honor me. And I'm sitting there, Mom, one shot I can fix it where he brushes his teeth out the back of his neck. Before he ever tells somebody God's through with them. And by the way, don't you ever let anybody tell you God's through with you. That's a horrible lie. He sat back down, and my mom said, "Preacher, I understand the fear." And then she said these words, "I am very damaged goods. But," she said, "my God has control of me. Let your moderation be made known unto all men." What's got a hold of you? What's got a hold of me? Something's got a hold of us. When I leave here tomorrow and start working on these cases again, man, is it just me doing it, or is God got a hold of things? Your pastor tomorrow, let your moderation, what's got a hold of you, be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. When that preacher left, I told my mom, I said, "You should have let me hit him." She said, "No, no." She said, "Son, they're just afraid. Don't hold any of this against them." But she said, "Don't you forget, God's in control here." Wow. The first thing God says, you want to be delivered from worry and fear. Number one, what you want to do is rejoice. And number two, let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Look at the third requirement. Be careful for nothing, verse 6. And by the way, that word care there is our word for worry and fear. I love this word that's care. It's used in the Bible, casting all of your cares upon him, for he careth for you. The word care here was the word for putting hooks in something and pulling it apart, tearing it. Have you ever heard somebody say, "I'm all torn up over this"? That's that word. And it was also the word for choking something to death. Have you ever heard somebody saying, "This is killing me"? That's that word. God says, be careful for nothing. Now, please note, it's a command, and there's no excuses. There's no exceptions. Be careful for nothing. But here comes the third requirement. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now you say, "Well, I pray." That's not the command. God says, "I want you to talk to me about everything." Have you ever tried to live one day? We're supposed to pray without ceasing. Have you ever tried to live one day when you said, "God, for your honor and glory, I want to talk to you about everything today. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to let everybody know what's got a hold of me. And God, by your grace, by your power, I want to talk to you about everything. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." I know I've preached on prayer here before, but I remind you what John R. Rice said in his great book on prayer, asking and receiving. Every failure in a Christian's life is a prayer failure. Every failure. And God says, "What I want you to do is talk to me about everything." "Well, Brother Gibbs, I talk to the Lord about the big stuff." That's not the commandment. "Well, I talk to the Lord when I'm frightened." That's not the commandment. The commandment is to talk to him in everything. Acknowledge his presence. Bring him in. I was with one of our wonderful staff members, Jim Coates. My brother Jim is a military hero. He has every Hero and Valor Award our country gives three times. He's a black man. He was a pilot for 30 years in the military. And he and I are traveling through the night once. And he said, "Brother Gibbs, let's eat." And I love to eat in the middle of the night. And he said, "Let's pray about where we should stop." And I said, "Jim, just pick a spot. Nothing good open. It don't matter." And he said, "Oh, Brother Gibbs, you're such a tease. We're supposed to pray about everything, right?" And I said, "Yeah, right." And he said, "You were just kidding, weren't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I was just kidding." You know what? we get comfortable making decisions and we pray when we need God to come in and clean them up. God says, I want you to talk to me about everything. We would have family devotions when my mom was home now, and it was really a big deal. And in family devotions, my mom always did the same thing. She'd say, just pray, I don't care for what, that God gives me something. I want to serve the Lord. Just pray. And she'd pray for us kids about everything. She said, I can't run after you like I once did. I can't move, but I can pray. Man, don't you ever forget the power of prayer. Number one, rejoice. Number two, let your moderation be made known unto all men. Number three, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now look at what happens then in verse 7. And the peace of God. Please underline the peace of God. Remember, this was written to Christians. If you're saved, you've made peace with God. But the fact you've made peace with God does not mean that you have the peace of God. Remember one of the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Man, have you got the peace of God? Now he tells you this peace. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God says, if you'll do what I'm commanding, I'm going to give you a peace that is beyond anything you can comprehend. It's going to pass all understanding. And I'm going to keep your hearts, look at what he says there, shall keep your hearts and minds. Your heart, that's your emotions. Your mind, that's your thinking. God, I'm just so torn up with what God says. I'll handle the heart, I'll handle the mind. But what you got to do is, number one, rejoice. Number two, and by the way, God says, don't rejoice just because you feel like rejoicing. He says, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. And then he said, let your moderation be made known unto all men. And then he said, what I want you to do is ask and talk to me about everything. Let your requests be made known unto God. And God says, I'm going to give you something. I wish I could tell you that I see this peace of God everywhere in America. Sadly, I see very little of it. Because what's happened is God's people have been following what the world tries to do to get calmed up. And God says, I've got a promise, a peace, which I want to give you. My mom would pray, God, and prayed for a year. She said, I don't know what I can do. I can't play. She was conservatory trained. She said, I can't play music anymore. But she said, God, there's got to be something I can do. A brand new preacher, an evangelist, came to our town and was starting a church. And he came to our house and he said to my mom, I understand you've been through a hard time, and I just wanted to come and say hello and get to meet you. And all I wanted to do was just be a blessing and maybe pray for you. And my mom said, that's very kind of you to come and do that. And she said, would you be kind enough to pray? I don't know what I can do, but I'm asking God to give me something. And like that, he said, sure, I don't know what you can do either, but God can sure do it. And like that, he got on the floor and started praying. And I mean, he's saying, God, this woman wants to be used. And man, she's asking for you to use her. And I don't know what she can do. But God, and I'm telling you, I'm like, what is this guy? But you know what? I liked him because he was nice to my mom. Halfway through his prayer, he stopped. And he said, Mrs. Gibbs, I got an idea, and it may be too much for you. But he said, we don't have a church yet, but we're going to have one. And he said, because we don't have a church, we don't have a Sunday school, but we're going to have one. And he said, how would you like to do our Sunday school? And I thought, what? Number one, you don't even have a Sunday school. And my mom said, well, I'd love to do the Sunday school. She said, now you understand I'm wheelchair bound and I can't move. And he said, yeah, I know, but God will use you. And then she said words that scared me. She said, well, your Sunday school has two kids because I have two kids. And I thought, what a fate. I'm going to go to Sunday school with my sister the rest of my life. When he left that day, I said, Mom, this is crazy. Do you realize it takes 3 hours for us to help dress you? And you're talking about doing a Sunday school? And you know what I was? I was defeating her. And she said, Son, you've heard me say it. I am very damaged. I can't hardly breathe. But my God's not damaged. And I just want God to do something. Well, they started the church and came the first day for Sunday school. And man, we rolled my mom there to that Sunday school. And she had practiced a Sunday school lesson. And for the first month, there were only two kids in the Sunday school, my sister and I. And since we heard her practice all the Sunday school lessons, we knew the lesson before we ever got there. And one day my mom came to me and she said, you know, we need to get some more kids for our Sunday school. And I said, well, yeah, two's not a real big number. And she said, I have an idea. She said, your granddad, with his meat trucks, used to put covers on them and would go pick up kids and take them to Sunday school in the 20s and 30s, and they called the kids who went truck kids. I wonder if we could get a bus and go pick up some kids and bring them to Sunday school. I said, well, Mom, we don't have any money for a bus. We don't own a bus. She said, I know, we'll have to get somebody to give it to us. I said, I don't think they just hand them out. You know what she said to me? Son, God's put a peace in my heart about this. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. She said, there's a big bus company uptown, and I want you to take me up there, and we're going to see if they'll give us a bus. And I told my mom, I said, I just think this is a bad idea, Mom. I'm glad to take you up there, but they're just going to say no, and I don't want you to be hurt when they say no. She said, son, let's just go get the bus. We got to the bus company, and when I went to get my mom out of the car, something terrible happened. It was icy and snowy, and I accidentally dropped my mom. I wouldn't hurt her for anything. But when she went crashing down, she screamed in pain. And we're laying on the ground, both of us crying. And I said, Mom, God's not in this. He wouldn't have let me drop you. She said, son, you got to just let me lay here till I can get some of this pain stopped. And then you got to get a hanky and you got to dry my face. I don't want them to see I was crying. After about 40 minutes on the ground, I dried her face and we finally got her back up in the wheelchair and strapped in. And she said, now come on, let's go get the bus. We went inside. Nice girl was there at the counter, very polite. She said, can I help you? And we said, yeah, we've come so you can give us a bus. And she said, you mean you want to buy one or you want to rent one? And my mom said, no, we don't have any money. We're here so you can give it to us. And the girl said, well, I don't know that we've ever done that before, but let me get a guy down here who can answer your questions. She called the vice president of the whole thing, and she said, there's a lady down here wants you to give her a bus. And you could hear the guy on the phone, tell her we don't do that. Come back when she has money. And the girl said, she's in a wheelchair. You come tell her. The guy finally came down, nice guy, walked right up to us, and he said, look, lady, I'm not going to give you a bus. I'm not going to do it. So there's no sense in you wasting your day or me wasting mine. When you get some money, you come back. We're not in the business of giving them away. And my mom said, well, thank you very much. But she said, I have one question, can I ask leaving? And the guy said, sure. She said, do you own the buses? He said, well, I'm the vice president. She said, I want to know, do you own them? And he said, no, the owner owns them. And that little girl, she said, no, you don't own nothing around here. He said, no, I don't own them. My mom said, no wonder, you can't give them to me, they're not yours. I want to talk to the man who owns the buses. And he said, the owner of this company is not coming down here. That quick, that little girl called him. And she said, there's a lady down here in a wheelchair, and she wants you to give her a bus. Here come the guy. Nice man, he walked up to my mom and he said, I want you to understand, I'm not going to give you a bus. But let me tell you why I'm down here. You don't realize you parked your car right under the window to my office. And when you got out of that car and you fell, I saw it. He said, I have never in my life seen anybody care that much about a bus. Now, I'm not going to give you one. And I'm telling you, I don't know what to do with you, lady. My mom said, well, can I just remind you one thing? One day when you stand before the Lord, he's going to be awfully upset you didn't give me a bus. And I thought, Mom, lighten up. Whoa. He said, I don't know. He said, okay, well, here's my question. If I gave you a bus, who'd drive it? You can't even walk or stand. Who'd drive the bus? And my mom said, well, I hadn't thought of that. I need for you to give me a bus and a driver. And when she said that, the vice president hit his head and said, I can't believe this. The man that owned the company stood there looking at us, and he said, okay, lady, now you hear me. I'm going to give you one bus and one driver one Sunday. Just one. Do you understand? Just one. And the vice president, he said, Al, we don't. He said, she's already pointed out to you, you don't own them, I do. And my mom said, well, I couldn't believe it. I said, Mom, you got a bus. She said, I need to ask something else. And he said, what? She said, there's two sides to our town, and I really need two buses and two drivers. And I was just afraid to ask. Like that, the man said, okay, I can do two. But just one Sunday. And then he said this, and you make sure you tell God about this. Because I don't want him upset with me one day when I have to stand in front of him. And my mom said, I'll tell him. That next Sunday, he gave us two buses and two drivers. And that's the only Sunday he did two, because the Sunday after that, he did three. And before he was done, he gave us 35 to 40 buses and 35 to 40 drivers every Sunday. and never charged a penny. That Sunday school that only had two kids, in 6 years' time, never had less than 5,000 children in it. And it was all done by a lady who couldn't do anything except have the peace of God. Every Sunday, she'd say, "Now you take me down by the bus drivers. I want them to come in and get saved." And we'd go down by those bus drivers, and she'd say, "Now you come on, you come in with me. I want you to get saved." And I can hear them, "No, no, no, we're not going." She'd say, "No, you put out your cigarettes, you come on with me." And like little ducks, they'd follow her in. After 5 years, my mom got that bus driver to go with her to the city. And she said, "I want our city to let anybody going to church or Sunday school ride a city bus for free." And the man that owned the bus company told the city council, he said, "You better give her what she's asking for, because she's going to ask for more if you don't." A lady who said, "This isn't what I planned," but rejoiced and said, "God's in this. Let your moderation be made known," and who talked to God about everything. Look at the last and final thing found in verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise," underline this next phrase, "think on these things." My mom would say, "I got to be careful because the devil wants me to think about what I don't have. It wants me to think about what I used to have." And she'd say, every time I hear the instruments and the choir, she said, "Oh, I want to do it, but I can't." But she said, "I'm going to think on whatever's lovely, pure, just, honest. You want the peace of God? Number one, you got to rejoice. Number two, by the grace of God, you've got to let your moderation be made known unto all men. This is what has control of me. Number three, you got to talk to him about everything. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." And God says, "I'm going to give you a peace that'll keep your heart and mind." That is a promise of God. Why would you want to navigate life without that peace? Why would you want to be in a home where you don't have that peace? Oh, this world can shatter dreams, but it can't shatter that peace. And God says, "I want you to have that." But he said, "Finally, brethren," tying it all together, "be careful where you put your mind." Remember, where you put your eyes and ears is where you put your mind. So be careful what you're watching. Be careful what you're listening to. My mom lived 20 years longer than anybody who had polio with her. When I would take her to the doctor would say, "Mrs. Gibbs, you don't have anything that works, nothing. I don't understand how you're alive." "Oh," she said, "let me just tell you." She said, "My God's been so good to me. And man, my God is with me." And she'd witness to those doctors and those nurses.
Finally, when my mom went home to be with the Lord, at her funeral, the church came back and said, out of that Sunday school, there's 86 pastors pastoring churches today. There's over 200 missionaries on the field. And then they came back and said, best we can count, over 4,000 people got saved. The lady who couldn't do anything but had the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. I beg you, don't live without it. My God wants you to have it, but the choice is yours. Number one, rejoice. Number two, let your moderation be made known unto all men. Number three, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And number four, think on these things. Last week is gone. Nobody gets to re-script it or rewrite it. But next week, I promise you, based on the Word of God, can be unlike anything you've ever lived in your life, because you can have the peace of God. Now it's time to decide. Father, thank you. These dear, precious people, this wonderful church, this gracious pastor. But God, we're living in a world where it's just fallen apart. And God, by your grace, we want to be the people who show this world the peace of God. Heads are bowed. How many of you say, Brother Gibbs, God spoke to my heart. I want that peace of God. I want to leave here different than I came. If that's true, hold your hand up right now. Hold them high. If you have your hand up, I want you to get up out of your seat and walk down here for a closing word of prayer. The piano's going to play. God spoke, you raise your hand, you come right now. Don't hesitate, don't delay. I didn't raise my hand, but I should have. Brother Gibbs, you come too. Oh, you come too. Father, we bow. What a privilege to have you as our Father. Now, God, we want the peace which you've promised that passeth all understanding. We can't produce it. Only God can produce it. But you've said if we rejoice, and if we would let all men know what our moderation is, what has a hold of us, and if we would ask in everything, that peace would be ours. And then you cap it that we think on what you've commanded. God, I don't know what's in these dear people's lives, and they don't know what's in mine, but every one of us has got a boatload of things that want to rock our peace. God, by your grace, by your power, we want to leave here tonight. May we show our kids, our grandchildren, what the peace of God is all about. Hear the cry of our heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's children together said, amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing this song. I'm a rich man. because my mother lived the peace of God, taught us the peace of God. And while they were never able to do so many things for us that a mom just would routinely do, she gave us something priceless. That peace, that promise. Lead us in this song, if you would, please.
Far away, am I cleansed of thy spirit tonight?
Thank you, my brother.
The melody sweeter than song. It's a lesson like strained unceasingly falls. For my soul, like an infinite
sang that chorus, the nurses there started weeping. And you know what they said? We've never seen anything like this. The world has not seen the peace of God. It's our privilege to take the peace of God to this world. Sing that chorus one more time, would you please?
Finished. Our hearts have been challenged this today. We give the Lord the praise. I think it'd be appropriate to sing this fourth verse. There is no peace without the Lord. I want us to think about this fourth verse. Methinks when I rise to that city of peace, where the author of peace I shall see. As we sing this, think about seeing author of peace. He's the reason we're here. He's the reason that his dear mother did what she did. And I was thinking, as this dear man of God was preaching, what influence a mom and dad have on their children. I believe this man has been influenced by his mama. That keep you going. Let's sing this fourth verse and I'll have you come and talk about the newsletter.
And methinks when I rise to that city of peace, where the author of peace I shall see, that one strain of the song which the ransom will sing in that heavenly kingdom shall be. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father.
Dr. Gibbs comes and tells you about the newsletter. If you're here tonight and you have never experienced peace with God, you've never trusted Christ, may tonight be the night of salvation. You come and let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Don't leave. without trusting the Lord. And may the Lord help you to do this. Dr. Gibbs, if you want to come and tell them about the newsletter.
Be seated 1 second, please, and let me re-echo that again. Boy, if you're here and there's any doubt in your mind whether heaven is your home because you've put your trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, please do not leave here. I hope you live a long time. I hope I do too. But this could be the last night you have on this planet. 7 times I preached the last message a healthy teenager ever heard. Had no idea in the world before the next church service they'd be in eternity. My friend, life goes by in a flash, and eternity is forever. Please, if you don't know Christ, please let us talk with you and share the gospel. This morning I asked you, if you would, to take our newsletter. And how many of you already get our newsletter? Hold your hand up. God bless you. Please remember to pray for these cases. It's so critical. Please. If you don't get our newsletter, it's free. And all I ask you to do is give me 1 minute of prayer a month. A minute a month. And just ask God to do what only God can do. We've been winning our cases not because we're good lawyers. We've been winning our cases because God's been showing up. And trust me, when you're in a courtroom, you want God more than you want a good lawyer. I was in a courtroom once, and a lady came up to me, and she said, "Boy, I don't think the jury likes you, Brother Gibbs." I said, "Well, I've had that thought." And she said, "Well, don't worry about it. God likes you, and he's here." And she said, "God will take care of this." And God did. I mean, that jury, when we were done, came up to me and said, "I don't know, we were not going to vote for you, not going to vote for the church, but something happened and we all voted unanimously for the church." That wasn't a lawyer that did that. That was God who did that. Please pray for these cases. Ushers, come on down here to the front. You don't get our newsletter, you don't receive it. You didn't sign up this morning, it's not coming to you. Brother Gibbs, I'll give you 1 minute a month and pray for the cases. Hold your hand up if you would, I want to give it to you. This precious lady right here, thank you, ma'am, that lady back there. We just want to get it in your hands. Please let us do that. Please, please. And the minute you get it, would you fill it out? Please fill it out. And then hand them to the ushers on the way out the door. So critical we get it back. If you filled one out this morning and did not turn it in for whatever the reason, please, please hand it to the ushers as you're leaving tonight. Thank you, church, for the grace of letting me come. I've so enjoyed it. Thank you for the wonderful motel room. And I don't know who put the food in the motel room, but may your tribe increase. You put my favorite health food in there. There's Hershey's and Twinkies and all kinds of good stuff. Thank you for that. And tonight on Mother's Day, forgive me, it brought back so many memories. Talking about my mom. And indeed, moms, you're putting memories in the children which will be there till the day they die. And you say, "Well, was your mom perfect?" No mom is perfect. But my mom had something from God. And you want to make sure you have that. Because one day when you're not here, that's what that child is going to need above everything. Just so happy to get to spend some time with your pastor. I got to eat lunch with him. And pastor's son, stand up back there, brother, young man. Stand up, the pastor's son back here. Found out something about him. How many of you think it's not nice to lie to Brother Gibbs? How many of you all agree with that, right? And when I asked him, "Is there a girl you're a little interested in?" he decided to fib to Brother Gibbs. Can't imagine. How many of you would like to know what we found out thereafter? How many of you would just like to know? That's an outstanding young man, and right now he's sweating bullets back there, all right? He is such a good guy, such a good guy. You can be seated, buddy. I've had such a good time. Your pastor's family is so sweet. Please pray for your preacher and his family. The devil has got them targeted. And the devil doesn't want to hurt him. The devil wants to destroy him.
And tonight, my wife and I are going to pray for your preacher and his precious bride, their kids, this new baby coming. And I want you to join us. How many of you tonight, before you pillow your head, will pray for Pastor and his precious family before you go to sleep? Hold your hand up, would you? Now, if you raised your hand, you just made an appointment with God. And please make sure you keep that appointment. The other thing I beg you is keep the Cracker Barrel guy happy, okay? Because, boy, the only problem with Cracker Barrels is you got to walk your wife through the minefield to get back by the field of food. How many of you understand what I just said? Oh, I mean, and I've just come to the spot where I just love the food so much. That's okay. If you want to buy something, let's just get it. But let's get back there. Thank you, church. If I don't ever see you here again, I'll see you up there. I pray I see you here. But please, this church has got such an anointing on it. This is just the beginning of what God's going to do here. And next week, it's called the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And God said, here's my promise. It will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. God bless you.
Brother Marty Scroggs, if you wouldn't mind to escort Dr. Gibbs out to the lobby, I'm sure our folks will want to meet him and greet him. Let's all stand together. Thank you for being here. Please go by to shake his hand. Thank him for being here tonight. And be back on Wednesday night right in your place, God willing. All of that. Brother Stephen Carrier, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, please.